Well, maybe we should begin. Well, I didn't expect that there are so many sisters this afternoon. I'm not here to give another message. I believe you have heard enough messages this weekend. And, today also is quite a long day. I'm not going to keep you for another 3 hours. Hopefully, we can probably finish by 8 o'clock. And it is a fellowship with your sisters, and possibly we may have some time for some questions, some questions that you may have related to how you serve and function as sisters in the church. And I will begin my fellowship in this way, that sisters are they play a particular role in God's economy. You may say, title on my fellowship this afternoon as the importance, the position, and the function of sisters in the church life. Sisters are important. I want to a little bit first from the divine revelation from the record that even from the very beginning when God created man, of course you know that after He created Adam, for man to be alone. God, out of His rib, right, with the intention of fulfilling His eternal purpose, of expressing Him and of defeating His enemy. Surely He needed a man to do that, right? That eventually he needs to gain a corporate man, a new man, to fulfill His purpose. However, after He created Adam, that He realized that this man is not complete in himself, that He made a woman, He built a woman to be His counterpart, to be what? His completion, to be His complement, to be His helpmeet. Well, we know in the Bible, especially from the genealogies in the Old Testament, women's names were not mentioned. You may say, in God's eyes, woman's position, his role, is secondary. So, if you read the genealogy, that all the names were men. You see, this one beget that one, because it's all the males' names. It's, you don't read the females' names. Only there was in the case of as an exception, the Zelophehad's the daughters, right? They have a few daughters because of the inheritance matter. But as a general principle, that in God's accounting, that woman was not put in the place of leadership or representation. However, man needed the woman as a complement, as a helpmeet, as a completion for him to carry out God's purpose. Well, God did not create more men, right? If God needs to strengthen Adam, God did not create just more men. God created only one man, and then He made a woman to be His completion. It's quite interesting that, woman, even by God's creation, is a weaker vessel, and... but yet this man created for by God for God's purpose needed a weaker vessel to be his completion, to be his counterpart. So, what is this about? How is this man with this woman, the female, as the counterpart, work together to fulfill God's purpose? So here, we have to see that as a female, the woman here is to complete, to be the helpmeet, to be the match, to be the complement to the man God created. They are not to be put in the position of prominence, of leadership, of as a representation. Man is always put in that position instead, right? When the names, when something is called upon, some situation, some event is called upon, the names, the men's names were mentioned. But it doesn't mean that the women are not needed, because clearly God had to create, God has to make, build a woman to complement, to complete this man. So although on the one hand, we see that woman was not placed in a position of prominence, of leadership, or of to represent as a representation, woman's role is very, very important. Very important. Not in the sense of to be made somebody, to be made someone prominent, but for the carrying out of God's economy, the woman plays a very, very important role. Well, I'd like to maybe briefly just go over the word a little bit, and then even to talk a little bit from our own history. Of the importance, to see the importance of the females. And, well, there are, the woman was created, you know, for the man as a completion, as a helpmeet. And also, the woman was created, was built from Adam's rib, to be his counterpart for the bringing forth of life, actually pointing to the bringing forth of Christ. Man cannot do that by himself. Man needed the woman to be his counterpart together to bring forth, pointing to the bringing forth of Christ, right? So, for the carrying out of God's purpose, man needs the woman to be his help, to be his complement, and also to be the generation, to be the generating part, to bring forth Christ, ultimately. Now, if we look further, if you trace down the word, that you can see that woman has been used in many critical situations to provide a turning point for God's move. Well, a number of names I can mention, right? You have, first you have Rahab. Right, that's when the spies, you know, went into to spy out the good land, and as they were being chased after, and then Rahab hid the spies so that to spare their life. That was very crucial for the taking of the good land. And here Rahab, who was a prostitute, but somehow she had this heart of preserving God's people, right, from the capture, you know, from the by those who tried to follow them. And then she got married, eventually married to Salmon, one of the spies, and brought forth Boaz to be an ancestor to Christ. Can you imagine? He would, a prostitute, yet because of her sympathy toward the spies, and married to one of the spies and became an ancestor to Christ. She played quite an important role for the entering, for the children of Israel's, their entering into the good land, for their conquering of the good land. And then the second name is Hannah, the mother of Samuel. As some of you should know that story, right? Hannah, she was without child. Who was the father? Who was her husband? Huh? I'm sorry, can I hear you? I forgot the name. Elkanah, right? Elkanah, that's right. Because he had two wives. And Hannah did not have children. And the first one, what's her name? Huh? Penina, something like that. And she had children. And yet Elkanah loved Hannah, right? And, and he comforted her. That's okay. You don't have children. As long as you have me, you'll be fine. But Hannah was not satisfied. She was desperate. You know, one day she went up to the tabernacle there with Eli there. And she went to pray. She was desperate, right? We know the story. She just poured out her heart, crying out to God, asking him to give him a child, and that she was willing to even lend him to Jehovah, right? To imagine that you're going to lend something to God, right? As if God, you know, in one sense, she realized that God was poor at that time. God was poor because God could not get anyone to be one with him. The whole situation at that time of the judges was one of degradation. So Hannah had this realization as a sister that she realized God was poor. God had no one who cared for his interest, no man who can be used by him. Now she went to pray and ask for a child, not for herself. But now she is asking for a child to be lent to Jehovah, to give him up together. I'm sure in her heart she wanted to have a child so much, so desperately. But yet she knew God enough that she realized it is more important to lend him to Jehovah and let him be for Jehovah to meet his need instead of meeting her own need. Because she herself was being looked down at by Elkanah's other wife. You know, she was being kind of ridiculed and despised. So she was, in one sense, she was really pressed. She was depressed. But in her crying, she prayed. And through her prayer, God answered and gave her Samuel. And we know Samuel was a critical person. Right? Samuel was an age turner. He turned the age from the judges, to the king. He was the one who was raised up by God to anoint Saul and then David. He brought in a whole new era. But it was through Hannah's prayer. I really hope that I have some burden about this point. I hope in the churches there are many Hannahs, that you would sympathize with God by praying. Give your children to the Lord. It may not be necessarily in the physical sense, but even in some cases, even as mothers, give your child to the Lord for his to meet his need. I'm afraid sometimes I'm hearing also some parents, they have children, they like to keep their children to themselves. Not to say lend to Jehovah. I mean for the rest of their life, as Hannah did. You don't even want to lend him for 2 years in the full-time training. Oh, it's too much, you know. You're just you have your career. You have to don't. Why do you waste your time? You can also serve the Lord, you know, as a working saint. You can make money for God. You're a money-making full-timer. You don't have to go to the training, wasting your time. Dear saints, there's a Hannah. We need Hannah's spirit. We need Hannah's ministry. In fact, Brother Nee did have such a little message called Hannah's ministry. He considered what Hannah did, her prayer, was a ministry that she was carrying out before God to bring forth a child to lend to Jehovah to meet his need. Hannah was not for herself. So sisters, we need to pray, is to have Hannah's spirit, to have children who can be lent to Jehovah to meet God's need. Then another one is Ruth, right? Well, we know Ruth. She was a Moabitess. She is of a Gentile origin. But Ruth was an excellent woman. She knew, although her background was poor, but she was clear, right, about the children of Israel. They are God's people. So even though her husband died, legitimately, she was allowed to just go back to her own country, marry her own people. She is not obligated. But yes, she had a certain view that this is God's people. I want to stay with God's people. She stuck with Naomi, right? And then she went back, and then she went with her, not expecting anything, but she just wanted to stick with God's people. And because of her choice, then she met Boaz, right? And then eventually they got married, and they became one of the ancestors to Christ. Ruth was an excellent woman. And her purity and her simplicity allowed the Lord to bring her into union with God's people to become a factor to the bringing forth of Christ. In spite of her poor background. Right? But because of her simplicity and her purity to attach to God's people. So Ruth also played a very important role. And then another name was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Right? Surely, of course, we all know Jesus came through Mary. The Holy Spirit came to her, right? Unprecedented in human history to a virgin is to bring forth a son, is to bring forth a child. It was a shameful thing for a woman unmarried and now to bring forth a child to be pregnant. But yet, Mary was fully open to the Lord. And as the angel appeared to him concerning this news, all she said was, Let it be done to me according to your word. There was no argument. There was no discussion. There was no opinion. She just accepted that. I don't know how many of you sisters would do that. would respond that way. When the Spirit would come to you to, this is not just to ask you to go and buy a hamburger or to go to the store and get something. It's to ask you to bear a child from the Holy Spirit, from another, altogether, you know, in a sense, she is going to bear the shame as someone, unmarried, and now she is going to bring forth a child. How are you going to explain to your family? How are you going to explain to all the relatives? But she didn't seem to question. She didn't seem to care. She just said, let this word be fulfilled in me, according to your word. So, Christ was born through the woman. Right? It was through Mary that Christ was brought forth to become the Savior, to become the Redeemer. God did not choose other avenues, right, to a man, but he chose a virgin, right, as the means for his birth, for his conception to be brought forth into humanity. We know as Jesus was living on the earth, he was born through the virgin. Even in his life on the earth, he was very much cared for by women. Sustained, supported, supplied by a group of women. While on the one hand, the women are not supposed to be named, and women are not supposed to be in any role of prominence, but yet they meant so much to the Lord's life on the earth. While the Lord was traveling, actually, there were many women who were used by God to provide the means to support him, to take care of him. Of course, the Bible did not tell us all the details, but we know here and there we see there was a group of women who were faithful in following the Lord and provided and supported the Lord's ministry. Without the women, I don't believe the Lord was able to do all the things. Of course, God is sovereign. He arranged all this, right? To sustain and supply his ministry on the earth all the way to the cross. And he was of course, after he went to the cross and resurrected, and you know there was a group of sisters who went early in the morning of his resurrection. I don't know where were those brothers. I don't know what those brothers were. They were sleeping or whatever they were doing. The sisters just went early in the morning. Not just one, there were a group of them. They all went to the tomb to find out where is this Jesus? Actually, even before that, remember, it was Mary, a sister, who poured out the ointment upon the Lord's head. And the Lord treasured that so much and acknowledged her that she did this in preparation for my burial, right? In the ancient times, in the burial, there was always the ointment, anointing the dead person. Out of all the apostles, even among those apostles, you know, there was Judah, of course, calculating, oh, this is a waste, and why do you have to do that, and all the reasoning among the brothers. And here this woman was just out of her mind, just broke the alabaster box and poured out the ointment. She was crazy. She was not even thinking right, according to the brothers. But the Lord appreciated her. She prepared for the Lord's burial. And then on the day of his resurrection, it was the sisters, again, who went to the tomb to look for Jesus, right? And it was to the sisters, the angel, there were two angels there in the tomb, spoke to them, Jesus is not here. Now he arose. So they were the sisters were the ones who got the first hand news that Jesus resurrected. And they went back and told the brothers, oh, this is what we saw. And the brothers were not even believing. They were just, is it true? You know, the brothers were just, I don't know what happened to those brothers, right? And then, of course, the Lord, upon his resurrection, even before he ascended to the Father, he appeared to Mary. The first one he appeared to after Christ resurrected, even before he ascended to the Father, he appeared to Mary. Why wouldn't the Lord go to speak to Peter, John, those disciples he called? But instead, he appeared to a woman, to a sister. Of course, he asked her, don't touch me. Because he was still in the freshness of the resurrection that he had to appear, behold the Father. But he did appear to Mary. Dear saints, the sisters are very important in the carrying out of God's move on the earth, in his economy. And we know, after the Lord resurrected, the 120, they gathered in the upper room, right, to pray. In according to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, I always, wonder, there's the mention, these all continue steadfastly in one accord to pray, and the women, and Mary. I always, why do you mention the women and the Mary? Here, the 120, they prayed in one accord. That's good enough. But particularly, the Holy Spirit mentioned the matter. Among these 120, there were the women and Mary. They were there. Among these 120, they were also in one accord praying together, right, after the Lord's resurrection for his move. And we know in during the time of the apostles, the sisters also meant very much, right? In the book of Acts, you have Mary, you have her household open for prayer, praying for the apostle. And all these dear sisters, that you realize, sisters are extremely crucial as a role in the carrying out of God's economy. But not necessarily in the sense of prominence, in the sense of as a representation. But without the sisters, all these things cannot be worked out, right? So, and then, of course, we know in Paul's epistle in Romans, chapter 16, at the end of that epistle, the first name he mentioned as a recommendation, commending to the saints, was the name of a sister, commending to you Phoebe. She is a deaconess of the church in Cenchrea. She is a patroness to the church there. In that chapter, Romans 16, Paul named a number of sisters. You know, a lot of Christians consider that chapter of Romans is, you know, why it is up to chapter 15 is good enough, you know, and all the high revelation, the teaching, but 15 is just a bunch of names, a bunch of greeting, but actually, Romans 16, without Romans 16, the book of Romans will not have a proper completion and application. The Christian life and the church life, there is an application. There's a practical application is revealed there in chapter 16 with all those names where Paul appreciated a number of the sisters, their faithfulness in serving in the church life. So that even gives you a window to see that in the heart of the Apostle Paul, he appreciated the sisters' service. He mentioned several names. He mentioned Phoebe. He mentioned Priscilla, Prisca. He mentioned Mary. He mentioned Persis. A number of outstanding names, pointing out these sisters, this sister labored very much for the church. And this sister, Mary, she risked her life, her neck for the church. Why would, you know, on the one hand, while God hardly mentions sister's name in terms of the divine record is concerned, yet in the apostles' epistle, he, even the first name he brought out was Phoebe, was a sister's name. He appreciated the sisters. Without their practical service, it will be difficult to have the practical church life. And surely among us, dear saints, that we know even with Brother Watchman Nee, with Brother Witness Lee, they were helped by sisters very much, right? In fact, it was a sister, Dora Yu, who preached the gospel to Watchman Nee, that he got saved. And then he was perfected under a sister, Emmy Barber, Margaret Barber. Brother Nee was such a vessel, but he was saved through a sister preacher, woman preacher, and was perfected by a sister. Brother Lee also. It was Sister Peace Wong preaching the gospel to bring her to he, you know, you heard him referring to that gospel message. I think that sister, she was only probably in her 20s, but that preaching was so powerful. She spoke about the Pharaoh, the slavery, right? And Brother Lee was so touched that morning when he heard that message by this woman in such a dynamic way that when he left that meeting, he consecrated his whole life to the Lord. He said, I want to serve you. I want to go everywhere in every village, just carry the Bible to be a poor preacher, to drink the mountain water, to eat the roots of the tree. I just want to give my whole life to you. Nothing is worthwhile on this earth. It was through a woman's preaching. Well, why am I all saying all that? I just like to impress you that you are important. But not in a sense of, oh, you are somebody. You are this and that. No, the sisters are very important for the carrying out of God's economy. In fact, Brother Watchman Nee, he did say in the church in Shanghai, the building up of the church in Shanghai, it was only 10% due to his ministry, but 90% due to the sisters' service. When I first heard that, I could not believe it. I said, what? The church, Brother Watchman Nee's ministry? I mean, what can be compared to that? And that ministry help should be the primary factor that built up the church in Shanghai. But to Brother Nee's realization, he said no. Actually, all he could do was contributed 10%, and he attributed 90% of the building up of the church was due to the sisters. The sisters' functioning, the sisters' service. So from this, you can see, for the carrying out of the church life in all the local churches, the sisters' function is extremely crucial, right? It's not about the messages, how good, how I know the saints appreciate the brothers speaking the message and so forth. But really, all we could do is just that much, a little bit. The rest need to be worked out and needs to be carried out through the practical service of the sisters. So, as you can see, right, even from the divine record, the role of sisters, the sisters are important, and even in our history, it is confirmed again and again. Even in my own church, I can testify to you, without the sisters serving, I tell you, many of the things in the church won't get done, right? Brothers can announce, brothers can say this and that. Who are the ones actually doing it? Sisters. I don't know if am I right here or not. We have brothers here. Brothers can announce, you know, can sound the trumpet, but eventually, who does it? Mostly the sisters. Especially in shepherding people, especially in many of the services, that it was carried out by the sisters. Without them, I tell you, I know, as at least from my own experience in the church where I am, not much will get done. Right? I appreciate the sisters very much. Well, what are the main function of the sisters? Well, based on Romans chapter 16, Paul taught the first name Paul mentioned was Phoebe. That she is a deaconess, a serving one there in the church in Cenchrea. And her service was so much appreciated by Paul that Paul considered her as a patroness, a very respectable designation. She is a patroness. Who is a patron? What is a patroness? A patroness is one who is like the top nurse in the country, in the top hospital, a top nurse who renders the care by the patient's side to meet all the needs. Phoebe was considered such a patroness. It's a very honorable, respectful mention. A name to be called a patroness. She served, and her service was very much appreciated, respected by the apostle. And also, I mentioned the Prisca, and actually her name was mentioned together with her husband. Aquila, Prisca and Aquila. And Bradley did point out actually when, at the beginning, when he first encountered these two names, they wonder who is the brother, who is the sister, right? Usually the brother's name comes first, right? But actually Prisca was a sister's name. The sister's name comes first, before the brother. Of course, their house is always open. Actually, many of the church meetings were held in their homes. You know, they moved about, and wherever they went, they opened their home for the church meetings to be held. But the point Brother Lee pointed out was that actually between those two, probably Prisca was functioning much more than Aquila. That's why even in the divine mention, her name came first, right? Prisca and then Aquila. So, and it's true. I believe not only in my church, I know everywhere is it should be the same. That in all the carrying out of the spiritual things, right, in the home, in the group meeting, sister's role is more important than the brother's. In fact, the sisters, they should not be taking the lead, so-called, in the meeting, you know, in the making announcement and doing many, you know, more outward prominent things. But in terms of the actual service, the actual promotion, the actual carrying out, the sister should be taking the lead in the carrying out of the spiritual things. Not too long ago, in my small group, you know, one of the young brother, he was sharing his testimony. He said he's being in the church today because of his grandmother. His grandmother just prays for him, prays for him and his brother every day. Doesn't matter, you know. He told me one time they traveled and they were in a hotel. They were in the same room. And early in the morning, even before the boys, they woke up. The grandmother already started praying for the boys to love the Lord, to be in the church. And I heard this kind of testimony, not just once, many, many situations. Many of the sisters, the grandmothers, pray for their grandchildren. Sometimes these old ladies, you know, they push you, you know. They push you. They would get these grandchildren. Don't miss the meeting. You have to go to the meeting. And sometimes they are quite forceful, you know. You may not like to be forceful, but actually their forcefulness actually helped to preserve some of these young ones who tend to just drift away, go away. But this young brother would just testify that today he is still in the church life because of the grandmother just pushing, praying for them and keep nagging them, pushing them, you know, so that, you know, it's true. I know, you know, some of you may know Brother Ronnie Chan, Brother Gerald Chan, their grandmother in Hong Kong. Pray for them every day. I mean, they are still loving the Lord. They're still serving the Lord because of the grandmother, right? And I the other day I heard, Brother David Wong sharing with us about when he was young, just a little, when he was still a teenager. And not his grandmother, but a old sister came to visit him, right? And he was just a new young believer. Was he a believer yet?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a believer at that time. And this old sister came and talked to you, right? And after her visitation, she gave him what? How many?
10 dimes.
10 dimes. For what? Not for him to keep candy. 10 dimes to go to the meeting to put it in the offering box. Right? This lady is really a thoughtful, you know. Of course, he knows he's not going to, you know. But by doing that, you know, to encourage him, you have to go to the meeting. You may say, I'm paying for you. You have to go and drop it yourself. Of course, this naughty Brother David, he just took some of them to buy candies instead, right? Some of it. But he did also drop some in. But the point is that when I heard that story, I was just very much confirmed, very much encouraged, confirmed. We need many sisters like this, right? Encourage. We have so many young ones, you know, naughty ones, young people. We need mothers. Just go to, you know, you have to push them, remind them, nag them. I know they don't like it. But when they grow up later, they will appreciate that very much. The sister's function, number one, is to serve. The service in the church. There are many, talking about our service, there are many things. I mean, you're not only the practical service, right, such as love feast and you know, many practical services, but also I would say many the spiritual services. The sisters can do much better than the brothers. I don't know why. You know, I think this is just part of God's creation. God created females much more finer detail than the males. I have a wife who is very detailed. You know, she is you know, I am more general and, you know, broad, but she is very detailed. So a lot of things I tend to miss. And I believe in general, not just me, many brothers, we are more broad brush, you know, the a lot of things, oh, it's okay, we let it go, you know, it's okay, we can finish tomorrow, can I finish today, tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. But the sisters, no, you have to get this done now, today, right, to get all these things well prepared, you know, all the details. This is just, I feel this is by God's sovereign design that the sisters are able to look at things much more in more detail than the brothers. One time, Brother Lee actually said this to us that, you know, sometimes he did notice. I mean, sisters complain a lot, talk a lot. And but he said what they said is true. What they said was true. What they observed was true. But so he also had to learn how to listen to the sisters. Even though sometimes they are, you know, they talk in a kind of a complaining way, this and that. But Brother Lee did acknowledge some of these complaints are valid, right? It's valid, but however, the sisters don't know how to get it worked out. They saw the situation, they got clear about the situation, but they have no way to work it out. And they need the brothers to help them to work it out. So I know as a brother, I'm a husband also, and sometimes I hear my wife saying all these things. Of course, I don't like to hear all these complaints, right? But deep within me, I agree with Brother Lee. I acknowledge what she said was correct. What she observed was right. But she does not have a way to correct the situation. Right? And she is anxious, she is this and that, and then what she saw was right, but she had no way to correct the situation. And I heard the things, but I didn't like it, I got irritated, you know, but then I realized what she said was true, then I have to calm down, I have to see, Lord, how to address the situation. You know, so here, actually, you know, comes the sisters, they need the brothers. Right? And the brothers need the sisters. We cannot, brothers cannot, because of the sisters, much talking and much, you know, to just disregard them. You just kind of push them off. There's a tendency. Well, there's some truth to what they said that we have to listen to and learn how to work out the situation. But anyhow, the point is, with the matter of service, sisters, this is your portion, right? The service in the church life, there are so many things that need to be done. To build up the church in Toronto or any of the churches here, it's not just by messages. It's not just by messages. There has to be a lot of detailed services, a lot of the shepherding of new ones, one-on-one, a lot of the detailed care. We can just, you know, give an impressive message and give a strong announcement, and then, so what? Who is going to work it out? So in a church, if there's a shortage of serving sisters, woe is that church. Then all they have is just ideas, you know, suggestions. But there's no actual way to carry out. Well, I don't mean that every sister has such a serving spirit. That's why I would also say, of course, by God's ordination, that you are created by Him with a certain capacity, with a certain in a certain disposition, but you have to pick up a serving spirit. You have to see your role is important in the carrying out of God's economy. And your function is not to be put on the front, to be in the lead, to be in a representing role. But your function is to serve. Even many times it's behind the scene. There's so many things in the church life needed to be taken care of. Beside the practical affairs, right, in the contacting of people especially. Sisters do so much. Brother Lee referred to actually there in the church in Shanghai, because there was a revival there actually, but when he got there, of course he saw Brother Nee's ministry, but then he saw the practical service by sisters. Every Saturday morning, there was the practical service done at the meeting hall. And he said, nearly all sisters, hardly any brothers, because at that time also, many brothers had to work. They had to work 6 days, 7 days a week. Many had to be occupied. But the sisters, many even practical services were carried out by the sisters at that time. The caring for the meeting hall, the caring for the new ones, for the saints. So I hope that not only we'll see the important role of sisters in God's economy, but also your function, right? First, in the practical service. And secondly, in your function, the sisters must pray, right? This is another key matter, that a key function for the sisters. Sisters need to pray. For the church to go on, to be built up, even for the Lord's work to be carried out, there needs to be a lot of prayers. I hope that in every church, there should be always a group of sisters coming to pray. Maybe they don't have to work, or they have work part-time, they have some available time during the week, come together to pray for the church, for the leading ones, for the co-workers. As a brother who is serving the Lord, I can just tell you how grateful I am to this prayer of a number of the older sisters. In Long Beach, there's an old sister. She's in her 90s now. She prayed for us. Actually, she demanded, every half a year, she demanded from the brothers, please give me your traveling itinerary. I mean, she will be upset when we don't give it to her. Because she prayed by that. She knew exactly where I was. Wherever I went, I mean, not just myself, but all the co-workers. She knew, she kept track of the traveling of all the co-workers, and she prayed. And we brothers, I can testify to you, I sense the supply, the support of the prayer of these saints. Without the prayer, we can't do it. We can't meet all the needs. We cannot, meet all the challenges. The sisters' prayer is crucial to the Lord's move. But these days I have also a great concern, because many of these sisters are getting old. You know, they are actually a number of them are just one by one passing away. Sister Lee himself was such one who prayed very much for God's move, and she also passed away last year. And this sister is about to also pass away. And not just her, a number of sisters, they carry out this prayer ministry for us. And I hope that even among us, there are some younger ones, sisters. Don't just defer this to the older ones, to the older sisters. I hope the younger sisters, if you have some available time, get together, during the week. Young mothers, set aside an hour and a half, come together one morning to pray. Pray for the church, pray for the brothers, pray for the Lord's move. It means a lot. The Bible does say, Mary's house was open for prayer, right? It was when Peter was released from the prison, he went to Mary's house. So particularly, Mary's name was mentioned, that in her house was a prayer meeting, that Peter knew exactly where to go to. When Brother Francis Ball, a number of years ago, he got into accident. And while he was being rushed to the hospital, And he asked the serving one next to him, please tell the sisters right now, pray for me. The first thing, he was not going to tell the brothers or anyone else. He said, tell those sisters. There's a group of faithful sisters in Anaheim. To him, that was his lifeline. So I hope, I don't know what the situation is here in Toronto, in any of the churches, even smaller churches, even the two or three sisters coming together, you know, setting aside an hour, pray for the church. Pray for the Lord's move. Right? This is your portion. Right? Okay. And then maybe just a couple of I won't call it small points, but something for sisters to beware of. Right? While I know I've been telling you how important you are, right, how crucial you are in God's move, and you do have a function, you have a position, but as sisters, you have to beware. Beware of what? Beware of talking too much, right? I mean, I meet more talking sisters than talking brothers. The sisters, somehow they like to talk a lot. I don't know how they can talk so many things. They can carry on a conversation for a long time. And brothers are simply sometimes, yes, no, okay. And we are seem to be very short, very, you know, the conversation didn't go that far. But sisters can carry on just so that's why, in one sense, it's your asset to be able to care for people, to shepherd people, right? But also, there is a liability on this other side when you go too much and it becomes a kind of gossip, it becomes a kind of vain talk. It goes nowhere. It has no purpose. It has no meaning. It's just talking about this one having a baby, that one is getting married, and then you just talk, you know? And the Apostle Paul, right, in the epistle, he talks about the busybody, right? He talks about forbidding women to be busybody, going about, you know, from household to household, talking about this. He is charging those women, mind your own business. Don't just go about as busybody, trying to look, you know, to find out what is going on here, what's going on there. So there is a temptation, sorry to say, for the sisters to be nosy, to be busybody, to just talking, to engage in vain talk, empty talk. And the second thing is the similar along that line is opinion. One thing is talking a lot, another thing is opinion. Well, we know this typical story of in Bethany, we have Lazarus, you have Mary and Martha. And Lazarus was dying. And then the sisters sent a message to the Lord Jesus. Come, help, heal my brother. And the Lord, for some reason, he delayed a few days. He seemed to know, well, this is an opportunity for him to manifest, you know, God's power, his glory. And he delayed. Then he went. When he got up there, Mary went to greet him. Well, Martha went to greet him. And you read in John 11, talk about Martha's tone was not very good. She would say, what? If you had been here earlier, my brother would not have died. Well, it's good that you came, but it's a little bit late, in other words. That's her opinion. Of course, the Lord says, well, I am the resurrection and the life. And who believes me, he will be raised. And then Martha says, yes, I know he'll be raised in the day of resurrection. Sometime later, Lazarus will rise. But in the meantime, he is stinking right now. So what is this? This is her opinion. She's giving the Lord the opinion, you are coming too late. You don't listen to our prayer. You're not doing what we asked you to do. You came late. So sisters, you know, as I said, the Lord gives you a pair of very clear eyes, right? Eyes, you something you see some situation. But you have to also beware of the snare of falling into just opinion, giving opinion. One thing I do notice, you know, even in the Word, with Mary. Mary was very simple. But also Mary was pure. And he saw situation. But the Bible says what? Mary kept it in her heart. She didn't just opinionate it. She didn't just express her opinion readily. She considered it in her heart. She kept it there. It's not that she did not notice. She saw the situation. But she did not voice it forth. She kept it and considered it before the Lord. So this is one thing sisters need to beware. Opinions. And while sisters are so crucial to provide turning points in God's move, you know, we see this very clearly. But at the same time, women had been used by the enemy, right, under Satan's instigation to cause much damage, right? Christ was born through woman, Mary, and then even at the end of the Bible, there is a universal woman to bring forth the man-child, right? The overcomers for the accomplishment of God's plan. That's a great thing. But also, don't forget, at the end of the Bible, there's another woman, the great harlot. And there's a Jezebel who brings in the corruption, the fornication, as an opposition to what God is trying to do as a counterfeit. It's also by the woman. So, beware of the much talking, the empty talking, and also the opinions. As you see situations in the church, you first have to bring before the Lord, right? And you have to consider, even in an appropriate situation, you have to fellowship with the proper ones, the proper person. You can fellowship, but not so readily to express your opinions. And then the last thing we need to beware is don't compare. Sometimes I also notice sisters, especially those who labor very hard to serve very much, they would make, how come only we serve so much? What are those brothers doing? How come they are not doing anything? How come we are doing all the things? Don't make the comparison. You consider, right, in the birth of Christ, in the bringing forth of Christ, the angel came to Mary, right? And Mary was the very vehicle to conceive this Holy One. Where was Joseph? Joseph was just on the side. He didn't get any, he did not get a visit. But, however, later on, when after Christ was born in Bethlehem, the angel appeared to Joseph to give him the instruction, you have to move, you have to get out, right? Because there's a destroyer coming to destroy the child. So Mary, although she was the one who conceived the child, but she did not get the revelation, the leadership, the direction, how to go on. So, the brothers, Joseph, he had a certain function. God needed Joseph to be the means to receive the revelation, to have to provide the direction to take the family on. But Mary was the one who actually received the conception of Christ to bear Christ, to bring forth Christ. So through the coordination and the cooperation of those two, they brought forth the Lord. In the same way, dear saints, sisters, the Lord gives you a certain portion. I'm not here making excuses for brothers. Brothers also need to rise up to do their part. But we cannot compare. We cannot make comparison among the sisters or between brothers and sisters. You have to be faithful to what the Lord has burdened you to do, to serve faithfully in the church according to the capacity the Lord has given to you. Right? Don't make comparison, because you need the covering of the brothers. You need the direction of the brothers. So we need to serve in coordination. We need to serve in oneness, so that together, in through this cooperation, our goal is to bring forth Christ. So beware of any kind of loose talk, empty talk, any kind of opinion, any kind of comparison. Just serve. Just serve faithfully, right? I hope in the churches here in Eastern Canada, the Lord can raise up many, many sisters. Blessed is the church where there are many sisters, but not just not talkative sisters, but sisters who serve. Sisters full of the serving spirit. Then the church will have hope. Then there will be the building up of the church. Right? Well, I stop here. I don't know if there are some response or some questions from your part you want to raise. We still have a little time for that. Okay? Amen. Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I do know these days they are not only for the sisters, even some brothers, some prayer meetings, even held through Skype or because of some circumstances. But it's nothing like coming together. I mean, unless there's a, because of the circumstantial limitation, we can take advantage of the technology. But, you know, the physical coming together is very, is not the same. But, you know, if you really cannot do it, you know, then you do it on Skype, on phone, it's okay. Well, you know, I know there's, we have sisters who serve in 6-7 service groups or different areas. They are really busy serving. And in principle, it's not so good to be involved in so many services. But we don't have any legality as to how many areas of the service you can be involved. But the thing you have to measure is that when you serve, are you just being busy doing things? Or as you are serving, that you have the flow of life in you, right? The service that I'm talking about, the service in the church and for the church, that should is result in the impartation of life, right? You're serving people with Christ. So sometimes when you find yourself exhausted or just you feel you're walking on out on a limb. You just overextending. You know, in your spirit, you sense a kind of dryness. You know, you're going beyond your capacity. So your spirit tells you, you are doing too much. You have to serve within your capacity of life. That you are, you know, because we don't want to just have sisters doing a lot of things, just being busy and get overwhelmed, and then you get all stressed out, and then eventually the enemy take a hold of you, and then you get some just get so burned out and say, forget about it, I'm not going to do it anymore. So you have to serve only as far as the life within you allow you to go, right? So when you find yourself feeling a little depleted, a little dry, then you realize maybe I'm doing too much. just serve to the extent, right, where life allows you. And this applies to anyone, not just sisters, you know, everyone who serves. We always have to serve within that limitation.
I don't agree. Just add just one sentence. It's also serving coordination, the companions, not by yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's the matching and cutting. Measure is known in the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's actually, you know, tomorrow morning with the young adult saints, we can talk a bit more with the young families who have children. You know, I know in the early days, you know, earlier when we were growing up in the church life, you know, we married and then have children. To come to the meeting, for instance, or to open our homes, we try to we coordinate it with one another to how to care for our children. I believe what she is referring to, maybe opening a home for a home meeting, for a group meeting. Saints come to your home, or do you how to take care of your children or not? Huh? Just within your own family. Yeah. Well, so how to, I mean, the role between the husband has to help. The husband has to, participate in many things. You know, even you heard from the, you know, testimony, you're changing diapers the third time on the day, right? These three times. And, doing the dishes and this and that. Surely the brothers need to participate, right? It should not be just left to the sister, the mother who is, you know, they have two little ones, you know, running around. They have to take care of all the household affairs. The husband and the wife need to work together. I mean, the husband cannot. To what degree? I mean, this is. I think you have to work it out, right? Of course, today we don't have the brothers here. Maybe tomorrow we can talk a little bit more. I think some may ask that question. But in a very brief way, that our family must have a goal, right, in our service. My family is for Christ and is for the church. You may have children, there are many demands. You have to set your priority. You have to set your goal. Otherwise, your family will end up with just clobbered up by all, taking care of all the children's needs, and then, you know, you forsake the prayer meeting, you forsake the church life because you take care of all the family things. You have to set your priority. You have to set your goal. If you don't, you just easily just get occupied by all those needs in your home, right? And sometimes you need help with the saints, you know, around you, near you, to work together, either for babysitting or sometimes to help each other, so that we will not cause the church life to suffer, and then even our own going on with the Lord. Anyway, I mean, this is we are seeing some of this kind of thing, you know, in some young families. You know, they have two children, they have three children, four children, and they just get clobbered by all the things going on in the house, and they are so occupied, they have no time for anything, right? Eventually, the loss is, to themselves, of course, in their spiritual life, and also to the church, also, right? Anyway, I don't know, I may not be able to address your question fully at this point. You know, you mean your husband is not saved, your children not saved? So what do you do? There's no easy way. You know, of course, we sometimes it will take a long time. You know, we have, there's some area in the recovery in America. I mean, there's just many of these sisters have family. The husbands are not in the church. Are you not saved? For many, many years. Not just for a few years. Many, many years. It's not normal. I mean, with the Lord wants to have your whole household. But again, it's hard to give a kind of a definite response to this because there are so many factors. Brother Lee one time addressed to a situation, you know, of a sister complaining about, oh, her husband is not one with her, not willing to come along, you know, to the meeting, and so forth. And then Brother Lee, you know, actually told that sister, knowing her situation a little bit, that she just kept running to the meeting, and then she prayed for her husband, but yet, you know, she is not not providing adequately in the family. So brotherly encouraged her, that sister, to, well, she was complaining about husband coming back late and this and that, but you stay up late, wait for him. When he comes in, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you waited for him when he came in, and then you, even serve him with refreshment, something that he would enjoy, you know, without complaining to him, why are you coming back so late, right? And then, that you would not only pray, but also you provide on the practical side. There's something that you may have to consider, right? How to not cause, because on his side, he may feel you're running away to the meeting so much, you are given to your church, and that you really doesn't care for what I do, and that you only complain to what I do. So the more we go on this way, the divergence get, bigger and bigger. So anyway, that sister listened to Brother Lee's advice. And, she stayed home a little bit more. She, stayed late and waited for her husband to come and then really, served him without complaining and this and that. Eventually, her husband turned and saw her testimony and he got saved. He eventually came with her to the church life. So there are situations like this. So why the husband is not turning to the Lord? There can be many factors we have to examine, we have to evaluate while we are praying, and also consider, how can we, be a proper testimony before the husband, before the children, so that they can see that it's not just I'm demanding them to follow me to go to the church, but I can be a testimony that will inspire them, that will cause them to also consider. Well, that she lives and expresses a certain life that attracts them, that they want to know about, right? So I think that because there are many factors involved, why one of the spouses don't want to come along. Of course, there's always the enemy keeping the family divided. We have to pray. Eventually, the one God is the one who saves them, right? But also, God uses us, our testimony, our life, in relation to our family members. What kind of a testimony we bear before them? Okay? Well, it's 10 past 8. Huh? We probably should not stay too long, unless there are some questions. If not, can we maybe just two by two, we pray a little bit? Okay, with each other before we dismiss.